And now, Skin Deep on CJAD with dermatologist Dr. Ronnie Monk, answering your questions about your skin health and aesthetic procedures.
Good evening. It's 7:06 and weather-wise 23 right now. Feels a little bit warmer with the humidity. It's your host, Kelly Alexander. Thank you so much for joining us on the show. If you'd like to reach out to Dr. Monk, he's here until 8 o'clock at 514-790-0800 by phone and 514-800 by text. And of course, we'd love your first name in the text. Hi, Ronnie. How are you?
I'm good, Kel. How are you?
I am great. Always happy to hear your voice. And I know we've got a lot to get to on the show ce soir, so we'll jump right into it. I did want to mention as well, though, that people, if they want to reach out to you at your office, the phone number is 514-937-2757. The website is monkmd.com. That's M-U-N-K-M-D.com. And of course, you can follow Dr. Monk on social media at monkmd. And he's got lots of great things, particularly on his Instagram account. So, Ronnie, I wanted to start off, I guess, by asking you this, because you'd sent it in a note and I thought it was pretty poignant. Sun-kissed skin, what's the truth of that?
You know, it's the number one thing I'm seeing these days in my clinic is people coming in with either increased pigmentation on their face, sun damage, brown spots. And I mean, this happens every summer and I see this all the time where you know, the sun will obviously stimulate a lot of pigmentation in the skin, and it's a big stimulator for the skin cells to produce pigment. And so, you know, that's a lot of what I'm seeing now is people that are worried because the pigmentation's worsening and what can we do about it in terms of treatment and how can we prevent this from happening. So yeah, I thought we'd open the show by discussing it because I think it's an important topic for everybody.
Perfect. And again, if you have questions about maybe sunscreen or again, like Ronnie talking about being out in the sun and all that sort of stuff, of course, you can reach us here until 8 o'clock at 514-790-0800 and 514-800 by text. So Ronnie, like, I guess what are some of the concerns? And are you finding, I guess, before you even answer this question, my second question is, do you still find that there's a significant amount of people that don't take sunburns seriously or allowing themselves to have that happen?
I really do. And you know what? Now, because of COVID and because in the spring we were so, you know, a lot of people stayed indoors and are working from home and there's less exposure outside, I feel like more than ever people want to be outside and want to, you know, take walks outside in the parks and are sitting at their pools. And I'm seeing a ton of people that are so dark, and I can't believe how dark people are coming to see me. And it's crazy. And I think that, you know, even though it's beautiful to be outdoors and myself, you know, it's nice to stroll and walk around, you got to think about always keeping your skin very protected. And I do think a little bit of sun exposure is essential and we need it for our overall health. But at the same time, the UV rays are very toxic to the skin and will cause a lot of aging in the skin as well as cancer of the skin. And so we have to be aware of that. We have to really protect our skin well, whether it's with sunscreen, antioxidants like vitamin C, for example, you know, reapplication of our sunscreens. You can't let yourself get burnt or get super tanned because that means that the sun is getting into your body, into your skin. And Kel, did you know sun is actually an immunosuppressant?
I did not know that.
So like smoking, the sun will affect your immune system and it will lower your immunity, which is why it causes skin cancer, because your immune system is much less likely to be able to fight off cancer cells. And the sun lowers that immunity, which makes cancer cells much more at risk of proliferating, which is why we get skin cancer. So the sun has a lot of negative features for the skin. Now, that being said, when I tell people this, their biggest feedback to me is that, yeah, but the sun also causes vitamin D production of the skin, and that's very healthy. And especially with COVID, we hear a lot about vitamin D immunity and COVID. And so vitamin D is essential for us to get. And my answer to that is you're absolutely right. Vitamin D is super important for our immune systems. So we have to supplement and we have to take it in our diets And, you know, there's so many foods that we eat nowadays that are fortified in vitamin D, like milk and cereals and yogurts. But at the same time, if you are not getting enough sun exposure and you're protecting all the time, which is what I recommend, then taking a daily vitamin D supplement is super important.
514-790-0800 by phone and 514-800 by text if you have questions for Dr. Monk. Again, here until 8 o'clock. And his website, if you want more information, of course, all about him, monkmd.com. And his phone number is 514-937-2757. We're going to quickly, Ronnie, run to the phone because we have a call from Carolyn. Carolyn, what's your question for Dr. Monk?
Hi. I know you, and you have a great reputation. I was told that Septafil is not a great cleanser for my skin, and I have recently been told that something called CeraVe Align is excellent, akin to La Prairie, but I believe you sell cleansing products, and can you tell me a little bit about your cleansing, your moisturizer, your sunscreen, and what is the name?
Sure. I mean, for cleansers in general, I don't think it's fair to say that this brand of cleanser is not a good cleanser versus that brand. I think that, you know, Cetaphil has a very good reputation and is a good brand, same with CeraVe, but they're for specific skin types. So generally speaking, CeraVe is a brand that I generally recommend for people with eczema because it tends to have ceramides and more moisturizing properties, whereas Cetaphil is a more sensitive kind of skin cleanser for people with more sensitive skin. If you have oilier skin, then I actually don't recommend any of those cleansers because they're not meant for oily skin types. So my answer to that is it really depends on your type of skin. Are you oily? Are you sensitive? Are you dry? And then based on your skin type, we really tailor a skincare program special for you. Now, you're right. In my practice, I do have some experts that really specialize in medical grade skincare. And to me, medical grade skincare is always excellent because they're scientifically proven products that have been shown in studies to work based on whatever we're trying to achieve. So we have all different cleansers and creams and sunscreens for all different types of skin. And I think that one of the benefits of coming to see me and my team in my office is that we really can analyze your skin type and know exactly what's going to work well for you based on what we're trying to achieve and based on your skin type. So I think that's a great question, and I think it's really dependent on the type of skin you have.
Carolyn, thank you so much for the call. We appreciate it. 514-790-0800 by phone and 514-800 by text. I know that we've got lots coming up with regards to the summer and the sun and all that sort of stuff. I know when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about when is a freckle not a freckle. We're also going to talk a little bit as well about what you need to know about SPF. So again, if you'd like to reach out to Dr. Monk, 514-790-0800 by phone and 514-800 by text. Thank you so much for spending your Wednesday evening with us on CJD 800. My name is Kelly Alexander, host of Skin Deep with Dr. Ronnie Monk, here until 8 o'clock. 514-790-0800 by phone and 514-800 by text if you'd like to connect with Ronnie. If you've got questions, of course, he can talk about injections. He can talk about if you've got some dermatology questions, of course. And then right now we're discussing a lot to do about the sun and the summer and what that means for your skin. Ronnie, I know I want to ask you about when is a freckle not a freckle. But before we get to that, I just wanted to ask, I wanted to follow up, I guess, on a thought that I had before we went to traffic, which was, you know, we were talking about how some people are just still okay with letting themselves get sunburned. And I'm just wondering, like, I think it becomes habit, right? So if you have little kids, like, and I know you're super on the ball with your daughters about them already knowing that they really need to make sure their sunscreen is on, whether it's the summer or the winter. So do you start them young?
You know, it costs a lot less to protect your skin than to correct sun damage later on. So prevention is key and consistency is key. I think that's really important. So if you start from a young age and you really start protecting your skin and you limit the amount of sunburns and suntans you get over your lifetime, that's going to pay huge dividends. for your overall aesthetic going forward, plus your skin health going forward. I think the common misconception is people really think that because they're darker, that they're immune to skin cancer and sun damage. And to be honest, it couldn't be farther from the truth. And I can't tell you how many people I see, Mediterraneans and black skin and dark, dark people that have very significant sun damage and want to so badly do things to correct it because it really affects your physical appearance as you get older. So I see dark people getting sun cancer and skin cancer all the time. It's true that it's not as common as somebody who's more fair-skinned, but it does happen, and sun damage happens across the board in all types of skin. And so I think prevention and protection from an early age, regardless of your skin color, is key.
It's actually really interesting that you brought this up because I saw an article earlier this week from Rihanna, and I think a lot of people love Rihanna, know she's an extremely popular recording artist and actress, and she grew up in Barbados, and she actually said that she had this misconception growing up, and I guess that was just pervasive at the time, where wearing sunscreen was a quote-unquote tourist thing. And that she as a black person didn't need it. And she said, or didn't need sunscreen or to apply it. And she said she's really regretting that now.
Yeah. It's, what's interesting is different ethnicities age very differently. For example, white people, we get a lot of brown spots and sun damage and wrinkles. Whereas black people may not get as many wrinkles as they get older, but they get a lot of brown spots. Okay, so you look at, for example, Morgan Freeman. As he's gotten older, he's, his entire face is covered in these small little brown spots. So that's how darker skin types may age. Asian people also, they get a ton of freckles and dark spots, but not so much in the wrinkle department. So actually Asians, I find, if you're 70 or 80 and you are pretty healthy and you're Asian, you can look actually significantly younger compared to an 80-year-old Caucasian. So it's very interesting how different races will age differently, but nobody's immune from the damaging effects of UV exposure. And there's been direct studies showing that ultraviolet rays, both UVA and UVB, will physically cause damage to the DNA of the skin cells. And so, that basically means it's carcinogenic. It directly results in cancer. So you add that, plus it lowers the immune function of your immune system, and that's a recipe for disaster, which is why we end up getting basal cell carcinoma, squamous cell carcinomas, and melanomas from the sun.
514-790-0800 by phone and 514-800 by text. We'd love your first name in the text. We're heading off to Diane. You have a question about neck skin?
Yes, I have. How can I start? I have little pieces of skin on my neck, my ribs, under my arms, and it's like a little piece of skin, and you could pull it like rubber.
Yeah, are they brown?
No, they're just like my color, my skin, white.
Skin color? And how old are you, Diane?
I'm 63.
Yeah, so most people, once you hit your 40s, we start growing weird things on our skin. And as we get older, we get more and more spots coming out. And so a lot of people in their 60s, 70s, 80s, they start to feel like they're trees growing new leaves and always new things, barnacles growing on themselves. And so this is not abnormal, and it happens to most of us. And some people are just genetically prone to get more spots than others. Now, these are usually benign and nothing to worry about. If you have a lot of them, it's probably good to get them checked just to be sure. But if they are what I think they are, which are just, skin tags or maybe what we call seborrheic keratoses, then these are definitely things that me as a dermatologist can clean up for you. And I tend to treat these things with laser, which usually heal fantastic and don't leave scars on the skin. But it is kind of, that's life, and that's how skin ages. And the sun also plays a role in those as well. And so just protecting your skin as best as you can is helpful. But sometimes, regardless of your internal health, we'll get things growing on our skin that we can take care of.
Diane, thank you so much for the call. 514-790-0800 by phone and 514-800 by text. Ronnie, when is a freckle not a freckle?
Important question. So when do we start to get worried about dark spots on our skin? And I think what's important, what I explain to people, is that you really have to look for an ugly duckling sign. So if you have a lot of freckles, but you have one in particular that's maybe a different shape or darker, and it just looks different than the other ones, then that's time for you to get that freckle checked. I usually talk about the ABCDEs of melanoma, and A stands for asymmetry, B is borders, C is color, D is diameter, E is the most important thing, and it's evolution. So if you have a brown spot that is evolving, meaning it's changing either in size, shape, or color, it needs to be verified by a dermatologist and checked. If you're in your 40s, 50s, 60s, you have a lot of spots, you need a skin check. You should probably get your skin analyzed by a specialist at least once a year, because things tend to come out and we get more and more spots over time, and our risk of cancer is always higher. But generally speaking, when should you worry about a mole or a freckle is, number one, if it's changing. Number two, if it's just different looking than your other moles and freckles.
What do you want people to know about SPF? Because I think, you know, I know that it used to be very confusing for me to understand, you know, what does 30 really mean? What does 50 really mean? Like all that stuff.
So SPF stands for sun protection factor. Okay. And what it is it's basically a measure of how good that sunscreen will protect you from UVB. It doesn't tell us anything about UVA rays. And both rays are going to cause harm and cancer of the skin. However, UVB rays are the rays that cause sunburn, whereas UVA rays don't cause sunburn. So if you have a very high SPF sunscreen, let's say Neutrogena SPF 100, that sunscreen is by no means going to give you a sunburn. You will not get burned if you use it correctly. However, it doesn't tell you anything about the overall UVA protection. And unfortunately, a lot of these high SPF sunscreens are not good at protecting against UVA. So in my opinion, they give a false sense of security to everybody who's wearing them. And a lot of the time, there's UVA rays that will penetrate the skin.
Okay.
This is why, Kale, I often talk about physical or mineral sunscreens, because mineral sunscreens, whether it's made up of zinc oxide or titanium, these are minerals that basically sit on the skin and provide very broad spectrum coverage, and they're predictable. You know how good the protection is. The higher the concentration, the better the protection. And this is going to give people the best protection without exposing to any of these harmful chemicals that are sometimes in these chemical sunscreens. So as a dermatologist, my recommendations, look for mineral sunscreens with either zinc or titanium. Higher concentration is better. I prefer SPF at least 25, okay, but that's not even enough. You got to reapply every 2 to 3 hours. And even with your sunscreen, it's not enough. You got to wear hats, sunglasses, clothing, and you got to do your best and just not be in the sun unless you have to be in the sun and you're swimming. But if you're going and you're baking there, even if you're wearing sunscreen, the sun's going to get through and it's still going to damage the skin. So do your best to really protect yourself.
When we come back, we've got lots to talk about, including an eyebrow lift. We're going to get into that. We're also going to talk about if injectors and injections are the same. You're listening to Skin Deep with Dr. Ronnie Monk on CJAD 800. Good Wednesday evening. It's 7:36, 22 degrees in downtown Montreal, a touch warmer with the humidity. My name is Kelly Alexander. Thank you so much for joining us on Skin Deep with Dr. Ronnie Monk. Here until 8 o'clock, if you have any questions, 514-790-0800 by phone and 514-800 by text. Ronnie, I know that we wanted to talk a little bit. Actually, I wanted to ask you something about the sunscreen for just a sec. Because you have now ingrained in me the importance of reapplying. Does it depend really on what activity you're doing outside on the frequency of reapplying? Like, I suppose if you're out running, you're going to sweat a lot, so you need to reapply.
Absolutely. So if you're sweating or you're in the pool, Definitely as soon as you stop, you should reapply because that'll wipe away your sunscreen much more quickly. Generally speaking, most mineral sunscreens, I think, will last longer than chemical sunscreens. But even them, I mean, we usually recommend reapplying every 2 to 3 hours. Me personally, like when I'm, let's say I'm at the pool all day, I'll generally apply in the morning. And then by lunchtime, I reapply. And then if I'm really out all day and it's very sunny, I'll reapply one more time in the afternoon, maybe around 2 or 3. I think we have to be most careful, obviously, with face, neck, hands, which are always exposed on a daily basis. Mm-hmm. Whereas the rest of the body, it's really only when you're out and you're undressed and you're exposing, do you really need to concentrate on applying sunscreen there.
Is there a rule of thumb when it comes to kids about reapplying? You know, like, is it like for sure every, you know, 60 minutes or 90 minutes or?
You know, it's pretty much the same.
Okay.
I can't tell you how annoying it is to put sunscreen on 3 children. Like, me and Gail laugh, like half of our day at the pool, we're really applying our sunscreen.
Yeah.
So, you know, a common question I get from parents is, can I use the spray sunscreen? You know, is that good enough?
Yeah, I was just going to ask you
sunscreen?
That. Yeah.
I don't love the sprays, to be honest. First of all, most of them are chemical-based, so they could be irritating in people that have skin sensitivity. The other thing is you don't realize how much of the sunscreen actually gets aerosolized and it's in the air. And so it's much harder to put on a sufficient quantity of spray sunscreen compared to a cream sunscreen. Now, look, I caved in with my kids. I sometimes will use a spray sunscreen on their chest and back, but really face, neck, hands, it's always mineral-based and it's always cream.
Okay. 514-790-0800 by phone and 514-800 by text. We're going to rush off to Carol, who's been waiting on the line. Carol, you have a question about an electric shaver?
Yes, hello. Hello, doctor. I have hair on my neck, you know, and I just wonder if electric shaver or there's a special cream that takes off hair from the face and the neck. Would it be good to use the cream?
Are the hairs coarse? Are they dark or are they blonde?
No, dark.
They're dark? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, you know, an electric shaver, a manual shaver, any of those will basically cut the hairs to the root of the skin, basically, or cut the hair as flat as the skin. If you do any creams, I mean, the issue with the creams is they can be a bit irritating, like Nair, for example, could be a bit irritating, but you tend to have a more deeper removal of the hair because it goes all the way down to the root of the follicle. My advice is if you really have dark hairs on your neck and it's a problem for you, you know, you should probably consider doing maybe some laser hair removal or electrolysis, which lead to more long-term reduction so you don't constantly have to remove the hairs yourself. That being said, you know, some people have a lot of blonde hairs on their face and neck, and unfortunately laser doesn't work great for blonde hairs. So there is a cream that I tend to prescribe people called Vanica. I don't know if I ever talked about it on air, but Vanica is a prescription-based cream that will actually slow down hair growth quite a bit. And so it doesn't remove the hair, but it actually slows down the growth. So if, for example, you have to shave and you're shaving every week or every 2 days, if you use Vanica, you might only have to shave every 3 or 4 months because the hair growth is really, really slow. So a lot of people really appreciate it. But anyways, there are ways to remove the hairs. I think one of the longer-term solutions like laser or electrolysis is best.
Carol, thank you so much for the call. 514-790-0800 by phone and 514-800 by text if you have questions for Dr. Ronnie Monk. Ronnie, I wanted to ask you about this. If you have like a fairly significant mole, do you have to be extra careful with that in the summer if it's like on your leg and you're out and about in the sun? Like, does it mean anything or no?
I think so. I mean, just today, for example, I saw somebody who showed me they had moles from birth. And one of them was quite large, almost the size of a toonie on their thigh. And they asked me, do I really have to protect it more so with sunscreen? And my answer to them was, you have to be careful and protect it properly, but not really more than the rest of your skin. I mean, look, if you have normal moles, then the odds of that mole staying normal throughout your lifetime is very, very high. But having a lot of moles automatically puts you in a higher risk category for skin cancer or skin issues, just because it's one of the risk factors for having a skin problem or cancer down the line. So if you do have a lot of moles, you do have to be extra cautious, not just on those moles themselves, but on your overall skin. So one of the things that's interesting is melanomas, which is really cancer of the moles, tends to arise usually about 80% of the time in normal skin. So it's not really a mole that you have that's changed into melanoma. It's usually a new spot that's come on the skin that's dark, that's been changing and evolving. And most melanomas come from normal skin. So what that means is if you do have a lot of moles, you're at a higher risk for melanoma. You have to be overall careful, not just on the moles themselves, but everywhere.
Okay. If you're of a certain age where, like, I'm not sure if that would be 30 or maybe a little bit older than that, where when you were a kid, it wasn't really seen as a big deal to put on sunscreen, because I think, you know, that was a thing for a while where it was like, ah, you're out in the sun, you look great, it's going to be good for you. If you had sun damage as a kid, let's say in the 80s or whatever, is there anything to be done at this point? Like, apart, like, if you, like, are you needing to be extra vigilant because of what you did when you were a kid?
So every sunburn we get in our lifetime will double your risk of cancer.
Wow.
So think about all the sunburns we've taken, right?
Yeah.
And even myself, like when I was a kid, I had my fair share of sunburns and I wanted to be tanned and dark. Mm-hmm. So every sunburn essentially doubles your risk of cancer. Now, obviously, damage is done and you can't reverse that damage that's been done, but damage is cumulative throughout our life. So going forward, we know the harmful effects of the sun and the UV. We need to be cautious. The question is, and I don't think we know the answer yet to this question, if we reverse sun damage, for example, if I do IPL treatments or laser treatments on the skin to really correct sun damage, does it lower the risk of cancer? And there's been mixed reviews. Some studies actually show that there are protective benefits to improving sun damage, whereas other studies did not show benefit. So I don't think we know the answer yet. Mm-hmm. But that being said, I think if you do take good care of your skin and you protect it and you invest in your skin and you correct your sun damage and you're going to look as good as possible and take good care of yourself, you're also probably going to lead a healthier lifestyle and not smoke and not drink and be healthy. Overall, I think there's definitely benefits for your skin health as well as your general health.
Good evening. Thank you for joining us on Skin Deep with Dr. Ronnie Monk. It's your host, Kelly Alexander, here until 8 o'clock with Dr. Monk. Don't forget that if you want to reach out to Ronnie at his office, his phone number is 514-937-2757. The website is monkmd.com, M-U-N-K-M-D.com. And you can follow him on social media at monkmd. And I suggest you definitely do that on Instagram, because he's got so much great content up there for you to check out, especially if there's procedures that you might be a little nervous about. You can usually find them there and then see that they're not such a big deal. So definitely check that out again on Instagram at monkmd. Ronnie, I actually had this question pop into my brain and I'm like, I have to ask him as soon as we get back from traffic. There's a lot of people that wear, I mean, now I think from working from home, it's not as much, but you know, a lot of people have to wear makeup or they want to wear makeup. And I'm just wondering, if you wear makeup every day to a certain degree, does that affect your skin? Like, how should you be taking care of that?
I think it could affect your skin for sure.
Okay.
Especially if you're acne prone. You know, it's good to let your skin breathe a little bit, definitely. And look, if you're acne prone, sometimes less is more. You know, if you put too many things on your skin, clogging your pores more, you're going to get more breakouts, which is kind of a catch-22, because a lot of people with acne are very insecure about their skin and they're the ones that use the most makeup to cover, but that worsens their acne and they're in this vicious cycle of blocking their pores and then doing stuff to cover up their acne. So I definitely think it's good to let your skin breathe a little bit. You know, it's also very important to exfoliate. I mean, I talk about this all the time, but you need to constantly exfoliate your skin on a regular basis. The way I do it personally, and I recommend people do it, is with medical-grade skincare, using ingredients like retinol, glycolic acid, on a daily basis. These are things that will help renew your skin cells and keep your skin as healthy and as to unclog pores and basically just keep your skin as healthy as possible. So constant skin renewal is extremely important, and I think caking on makeup is never a good thing either.
Okay, perfect. 514-790-0800 by phone and 514-800 by text. We're heading off to Monica. You have a question about discoloration, Monica?
Yes, good evening. Good evening, Dr. Monk. My name is
Monica.
I have to say I enjoy listening to you every Wednesday. It's very informative, and I appreciate your program.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Okay. Now, what the problem is I had, you know, when you drive your car, you get tanned on your hands, the front of your hands. And since I've been using the anti-sanitizer, the one that you get every store that you go into, which is, I avoid it if I can and use soap and water, which I believe in, which is recommended also, all of a sudden I've developed white blotches, you know, the size of, let's say, a dime in quite a bit of my four hands, on both hands. Is that due to the sanitizer? Because I don't see it any other way. They're blotches.
So something that's interesting is that, believe it or not, soap and water is actually more irritating on the skin than hand sanitizers. And people don't think of that because when we apply sanitizers on raw skin, it burns a lot because there's an alcohol component to it. But it's very clear in medical studies that if you wash your hands repetitively with soap and water, you are basically stripping the normal barrier off the skin, and you're dehydrating the skin quite a bit, and you're much more prone to get eczema and irritations and raw skin from overwashing compared to hand sanitizing. So in my practice, and look, I'm seeing a lot of people every day, and obviously with the virus now, we really have to take precautions and wash a ton. And I actually prefer to use a sanitizer compared to soap and water just because if I constantly washed after every patient, I don't think I'd have any more hands because it's so irritating. Now, that being said, even sanitizers or soap and water, the more we wash, we have to constantly moisturize. So what's very possible that's happening with you, Monica, is you may be irritating your skin because of all the washing you're doing. And when the skin's irritated, it gets inflamed. And when inflammation subsides, it often will result in discoloration, whether it's darker or lighter. And so having some whiter spots on the skin, I can't know for sure because I'm not seeing it, but it's very possible it's related to irritation from your washing, and that's resulting in it healing into some pigmentation changes.
Monica, thank you so much for the call. 514-790-0800 by phone and 514-800 by text. Ronnie, we have a couple more minutes, and I did want to touch on this because we haven't been on the show for a month or so. How are things going at the clinic?
Things are good.
Okay.
You know what? I was just talking about this with my wife, and you know, it's funny because it's become kind of the new norm, and I'm constantly in my gear, meaning my mask and my goggles, and I wear it all the time. And but it's become the norm for me and for my staff. And you know what? It's actually nice to be in the office because there's some normalcy there. And I just feel like life is a little bit back to normal, at least in some regard.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been good. And you know what? Seeing my patients, I love my patients. I really do have the best patients, and I have the best time at my office. And I love what I do. I mean, making people feel better about how they look and how they feel in their skin, it's extremely rewarding. And I'm just so thankful to be back at work. And I hope that, you know, we can continue to make progress with this COVID and people stay careful, and we have to always think about it. But, you know, life will go on. So it's been good. What about you, Kel? How are things at the station?
Everything's good. Like we've talked about this before, how amazing the staff has been about obviously following all the protocols. And, of course, management has been amazing to take care of us and make sure that, you know, the cleaning crews are coming through and that we have access to, you know, Lysol wipes or whatever we need to take care of things. So I have no complaints on my end. And I wanted to ask you, too, because I've noticed this when I'm out and about, let's say in the grocery store or now, you know, in any store at this point, especially since the protocols have come in to make sure everyone's wearing a mask, you know, at all times and in public spaces. How do you find people are, like, your patients dealing with what's expected of them when they go into the clinic? And are you still sort of staggering your clientele when they come in?
Yeah, I mean, look, we've changed our whole flow. And, you know, if you've been to a dermatologist before, you know that the office can be extremely busy and there's a lot of people going in and out. But for me, you know, so we changed that, and I'm definitely not seeing as many people as I used to. But I have to say I'm enjoying it, and I'm not rushed, and I enjoy taking my time with my patients. And so it's been nice. And I think people are also responsible. I think my staff's doing a great job also when they're booking appointments, telling people, you know, you have to come with your mask, and you have to social distance and that sort of thing. But I think people are very receptive to it, and what's most important for me is if you come into my office, I want you to really feel safe, and I don't want you to feel at risk at all. And we're doing our best. And I think that shows when you're in my office, but it's also, you know, we all have to kind of work together. Me, my nurses, my patients, we all have to make sure that we're keeping everybody in the office safe. And so generally the response has been good. And what's funny, Kel, is, I mean, as you know, I do a lot of treatments and injections and cosmetic stuff. So oftentimes my patients are not wearing masks. And when I tell them, do you mind taking off your mask so I can treat your lips or your chin or whatever I'm doing? It's funny. They always ask me, well, do you mind? Is it okay with you? And I kind of chuckle to myself, but I don't mind because I'm geared up and I really feel secure. But it's very nice that they're thinking of me as well as I'm thinking of them. So I think that this, it's really bringing out the best of people. And I think everybody cares about everybody else, and we're all human and we all want to get through this together, and we don't want to get sick, obviously. And I really see it in my office. So I'm enjoying things.
Perfect. Well, you know how much I love you, and I appreciate you you joining us tonight. Thank you so much. I can't wait till you're back on with us in September.
Thanks for having me, Kel. Have a great evening.
That is Dr. Ronnie Monk. Again, his office line, if you want to reach out for a consultation, 514-937-2757, 514-937-2757. The website, monkmd.com. And again, it would be great if you'd follow him on social media, particularly on Instagram. Lots of great content on there, at monkmd. My thanks to Chris Akins for pushing all the right buttons. My name is Kelly Alexander. And coming up after the news, it's A Night Side with John Pohl on CJAD 800.